When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine-washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new. Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Welcome to the podcast, Faye Speedy. You are the founder of Beauty Bulb and you are joining me to share your feel-good habits.
Yes, thank you. And thanks for having me on the podcast. Really excited to be here.
Okay, so where are we beginning?
Okay, so I guess a lot of my feel good habits, I mean, they're really important to me, some of these in terms of bringing like structure and calm to my everyday life. I feel like sometimes my life's a little bit wild and it's definitely something that some of these kind of relate to past habits that I've tried to, things that I've tried to stop doing, or things that I know I need to do more to bring balance. And then some of them are like about feeling good and just kind of like their mood elevators, I guess.
Okay.
So number one is probably one of the most important things that I do, which is being around my friends and family. I'm really lucky that I have, and I think I've got such a special like group of friends, and some of them have been my friends since I was a baby, since school, and then I've picked up some amazing friends along the way, places like uni and throughout my career. But I'm a bit of a clinger honor, so if I find somebody that's like my, I say to one of my friends, they're our blood type. So if I find my A plus, then I'm like, okay, yes, you're. It's kind of like, I don't want to say like a, you know, if you have a relationship or a job, but I think you feel an energy when you meet people. And I certainly have found that with all of my friends that I've met throughout the years. So for me, being around those people, the ones that know me best, the ones that are my blood group is what we call them, it just gives me like a different energy. So it's, you know, a feel good energy. And I think there's something brilliant about being around people that, you know all of your secrets and know all of the good things and the bad things, and you can be completely honest, and you can laugh and you can cry, and like, you know, you just got so many shared experiences. So for me, I feel like when I'm with them or when I spend time with them, and that could be a walk, it could be a coffee, or it could be a hen do, I leave those situations just feeling lifted and like I've got a different energy, really. So I think that's one of my main ones.
So does that mean that conversely, if you spend time with someone and you feel drained, that's a really good warning sign?
Do you know what? Actually, I've not thought of that, but yes, that is definitely right. And I sometimes, for example, if I've gone into, it could be any situation, but, you know, certainly there's been situations where perhaps in a work sense, I've met somebody or, you know, nearly taken something or nearly moved forward with something, but the energy with that person just didn't click with me. So yeah, that's a really, yeah, definitely that happens.
Okay, that's interesting. It's like Jules von Hepp always says, mood hoovers, or was it radiators or mood hoovers?
Oh my God, mood hoovers. I've never heard that one. Yeah, radiators I love, but mood hoovers. Yeah, that's completely true to me. And I literally live my life by that and, you know, kind of gravitate towards a certain kind of person, both in my home life, in my friendship circles, in work. It can even be something as simple as a coffee shop. You know, if I've got a regular coffee shop and the person there is a radiator rather than a mood hoover, then that will make, you know, I make decisions probably not thought about like that, but I do make decisions like that all the time.
There you go. So that's a great first one. What's number two?
So number two is, I guess, a worky related one, but it's not, I don't have any emails on my phone.
Okay.
So this was one I kind of learned the hard way, I guess, with this one. I was in a role, a very high pressured, stressful job some years back, which I loved, by the way, but it came with it. Lots of pressure came with it, and it was busy, and it was, you know, long haul flights. And I guess the being constantly on really impacted my mental well-being. And I learned the hard way that the not having the emails on my phone was super important, and it was a bit of a game changer for me when I actually realized and took that decision. And kind of, I know it sounds silly, but I feel like there needs to be some sort of campaign to make everybody take their emails off their phone, because you're constantly plugged in. And I described it as my umbilical cord to that job. And I got to the stage where I was waking up in the morning, the first thing I was doing was checking my emails on my phone. I was going to bed at night, trying to emails from America before I went to sleep. And then, you know, this is like really embarrassing to admit, but I will admit it. But I was going out for dinner with people and going to the loo, and I was replying to emails on the loo. I mean, how stupid is that when you say it out loud? And I'd be sat on the train, sat on the tube, sat on an aeroplane, on holiday with my friends or family, quickly replying to the odd email, you know, getting texts of like, oh, have you seen this email? So I'd be like, oh my God, I've got to reply. So it meant literally zero downtime. And I think that just slowly kind of ate away at my kind of sense of well-being. And then when again, I would also, one thing I wanted to say is like my anxiety levels, like, you know, with like a direct correlation with like the more pressure and the more kind of I was tied to the phone and the emails and constantly on, that my anxiety, I mean, it's not a surprise, but my anxiety levels rose to the point where they were impacting my everyday life. And then when I left that job, there was a period where I didn't have that the phone, I didn't have the work phone, I didn't have, because you know when you can see them coming in and you're like, I felt like I had this need, it was a bit of an obsession about replying to them. And then when I left that job, I was like, oh gosh, like, I mean, I had so much time to think and just be and be still, and I realized that it was completely not normal. In fact, it was a bit crazy, like, to be doing that. And you know, I'd love to, I wish I knew the amount, well, probably not, I probably don't want to know, but the amount of time I kind of wasted just, you know, not being present and, you know, really impacting my mental well-being with that. So I now love the fact that I don't have any emails on my phone, and everybody that I work for or work with, they know that, and not one person has ever said, you know, that's terrible, or why have you done that? They're like, oh, actually, that's, and it's brilliant, because it means that I'm completely present. So I'm not going, you know, I don't go to bed with my phone. If I sit on a train, I can hopefully read a magazine, or, you know, if I'm with my family, they've got my undivided attention. And I just think that we spend so much time, work's really important and my career is really important, but I think this way for me, I can be 110% in my family or in my friends or in my social environment when I'm there. And then similarly, work, get 110% effort when I'm sat at my laptop. And that, I think having that clear that clear division is just been a complete game changer for me.
That's such a good one. I actually almost think there should be a campaign that you, just to let people know you don't have to reply immediately.
Yes, yes, definitely. Or I just wonder like how it would, I've often thought about this, is how, if, you know, they should do some tests with some kind of employees where they tell their employees not to do it, like how it would change mental health, how it would change productivity, how it would change the way they felt about their job. I feel like it's a good move. That's definitely makes me feel good having that, like, you know, I guess not having that, you know, that tie that, you know, where you're constantly filled. But I think that, you know, that comes with pressure jobs sometimes. Not everyone's in a position where they can do it, but yeah, that for me works really well.
I have a really strict rule, is I don't send emails between outside of 9 and 6. So the working day to me is 9 to 6. And if I have anything that I want to say to anybody outside of those hours, I will write the emails and I will schedule them to hit their inbox at 9 o'clock in the morning. And it's that thing of wanting the world to treat you, treating the world the way you want the world to treat you. And so yeah, even though that's how I am with people, I still get emails sometimes and I see them, and I, especially ones on the weekend, they can make me quite angry. And I've had to really learn to go, okay, I'll deal with that on Monday morning.
Yeah, no.
That's
a really good point, actually. And I think that's something I can definitely take away, because I sometimes have to like take little pockets of time to work, which are in the evenings or at weekends. So maybe I think I need to kind of do what you do and think, well, maybe, you know, what I've got to say isn't that important. So just kind of let's schedule them a bit better.
Well, it's what someone, I heard on a podcast once, somebody say that if you're sending emails out of hours, you might be trying to signpost to somebody, look at how on I am all the time, look at how seriously I take my job, look at how committed I am. But what you might be signaling to them is, I have no respect for your time and your weekend, yeah, and your evening. Yeah. And as soon as I heard that, that completely changed how I communicated.
Yeah, I really like that statement. And I think that's exactly it. And I never, like I say to everyone I work with, you don't ever on holiday, I like, it makes me so upset when people go on holiday and they're emailing and checking in with work. Like, think if your job or your client or whoever can't survive without you for a week or whatever, this, I think there's something wrong.
Interesting. I mean, I could talk about this one for hours, because I really do, yeah, think that I do think it's so important to have respect for someone else's time. And that means sometimes not messaging them. And I hasten to add, I'm really bad with my American and Australian friends, because I can never remember what time it is for them. So I'm always messaging at all hours. And probably, they're probably listening to this saying, hang on a minute, you constantly message me at 2 a.m. So apologies to those people.
I think that for me, that's been a game changer. And I've had other people who, I wrote it a couple of times on our Instagram page, and if people commented and they said, oh my God, I've done it. And I'm like, yeah, was there any backlash? I'm like, no, everyone said what a great idea it was. So yeah, that's one I thought I'd share.
Love it. Okay, what's our next one?
Number 3, I guess it really ties into it, but it is, I see it as separate, in that for me, I have to try and figure out balance. So balance of home life, family, friends, but then also me and work. And it's something that I've probably struggled with a bit over the last 10 years, but it ties into the no emails, I guess, but it's an ongoing habit of trying to make sure I give the right things my time and give them my like undevoted attention. Because if I don't, then I feel like stress levels start to rise and then the mum guilt kicks in. And I think it's I've learned to set boundaries, and I've learned only recently really to say no to things. I'm a real yes person, and it drives my partner mad, because someone will say, oh, can you make this party, or can you make this birthday? And I'm like, yes, when is it? And I've said yes before I've even considered like everything else. And then I'm like, yeah, but I really need to be there because of this. So I'm trying to like train myself to think, okay, what does my week look like, and how does that impact everything? And am I going to get a night on the sofa with Ben this week if we do that? Or, you know, am I going to get to take the kids to at the farm or whatever if we're out all day. So it's like trying, I think, balance and learning to say no is a feel good habit, because I'm actually happiest at home. And like I said, with my friends and family, and work and my business is really important, but I actually have my best ideas when I'm by myself. So when you have time, I mean, this isn't new news, is it? That if you're alone and you've got like some time to think, that you start to be more creative. But that's where I think it all ties in for me, like all of the different elements, the home, the family, the work, and then being on my own. I think it's a hard one, but that definitely for me makes me feel good if I feel like my week's got some structure, I'm doing what I feel I should be doing, rather than thinking, oh, but they won't be there, or I should be there. And often, I don't know if I should admit this really, but I will, like sometimes I'll look at my work diary and I'll be thinking, that call, that meeting does not need to happen this week. Like it's 2 or 3 hours, or I'm getting on a train to do that, and that means this, and I don't need to do that. So I've started to actively look at my diary to just take out maybe one or two things each week that aren't urgent, aren't going to really deliver anything of benefit to anybody. They're just, sometimes I think I, being a yes person, do things for doing sake, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the balance one. It's about prioritizing and making space for the right things, that I guess saying no and just being a bit more in control of things.
I like it.
Okay, so number four. So again, I don't know if this counts as one, but I had a think about it and I made some notes when I knew I was going to be on the podcast. So for me, a feel-good habit has been redefining what I see as success and the meaning of success for me. Don't know if that makes sense.
Yep.
It does. So for me, for lots of people, success is definitely tied into career, and there definitely is an element of that for me. And, you know, salary, and, you know, some people like to have nice things, and I'm not knocking that. And I, you know, definitely, like, that is, you know, that's important to lots of people. I get that. But the way I don't pigeonhole it to just my career anymore. And I think that was, I think for me, success can have lots of different forms now. And my partner and I, we went through a lot of fertility treatment and actually worked really bloody hard to have our family. And it was what I saw through those eyes, and seeing what, you know, what I deemed as a successful life because of my wants and needs, made me think, actually, I've been working my absolute socks off thinking that this was what I wanted, but actually, all I actually wanted was why. And so I think going through that experience just changed my outlook a little bit, really, on, and I think I see this more in people. Like I take a lot of like happiness when, like, for example, I'll try and think of some examples, but my friend moved house and now she's got loads of animals in her back garden, like, that she looks after, and like that was her dream, and it makes her really happy, and it's like, what a great, like, you know, that's such a lovely thing. And another friend, or actually a family member of mine, like, left his day job because he wanted to pursue a career as like a rock in a rock band, and he did it, and it's actually made him really happy. So I think, okay, yeah, that's, you know, that's what success looks like to me. Or like a friend, you know, traveling the world, you know, you look at that and think, God, you create this amazing space and save really hard to be able to do that. Like, that to me is, I guess, a form of success. And I'm trying to think of any more, but like a friend of mine, she takes every other Friday off and just does whatever she wants. Like, actually has, you know, having control of your own time and having freedom, I think for me is success. And there's lots of different forms of success, I guess. To me, it's tied into like lifestyle and dreams and happiness, rather than just, you know, what your job title is, or you know what you're earning and that kind of thing. So I guess the last three that I said kind of all tie in together, but I feel like these other people who are like making big changes, I think you've got it sussed. Like, I feel like they're successful to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the person who decides to just completely dump what they're doing in their 40s or 50s and pursue a dream, that to me is just so freaking inspirational, because you are so far down the conveyor belt of a certain path that to actually stop and say that isn't my dream, that was in my dream 30 years ago or 20 years ago, that is so brave. I have so much admiration.
Same, like it takes a massive pair of balls. And then if you see people on the other side of that, they're going to be a million times happier, and they're excited about what they're doing. And so for me, success is whatever you deem as making you happy, rather than what you think you should be doing or where you think you should be going or what society tells you that you should be doing. I think, you know, there's a lot of norms that I'm sure I don't agree with, I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with, but that's one of them.
100%. And I've just finished reading a book actually by Sarah Wilson, and it's really got me thinking about how one consumes, and definitely it's made me interrogate my own consumption. And I remember when I first left university being in a car with my mates, and my mate Kate saying something like, what do you want? And I remember saying this, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I said, I just want to go onto a shopping website and not have to sort by from low to high price wise. Like, that was my goal. And then you just sort of realize how capitalist and consumerist that is, and how actually that's so ugly. And I mean, I was young, so I'm not going to
with myself. When I was writing this, I tried to think really hard about like kind of me in my, I guess a lot of this is me in my 20s or late 20s versus me in my late 30s now. And it's transformation. It's actually been really great to like write some of these things down and have a real think about them. But so number five is probably like a bit of one of the left field ones.
Okay.
I'm not sure, it might not be on anyone else's list, I'm not sure. But so I realized when I was thinking about this that I actively try and bring Ibiza into my life in any, like, each week if I think about it. So this might sound a bit odd, but my friends and I and family and lots of people have gone on various holidays there over the last like 15 years, and there's been, you know, weddings and lots of other special like memories made, and it's like it's a really special place to me and to our family and friends. But I really feel like Ibiza's got this special energy, and I say it when I land there, not the big clubby side, I mean I'm sure that is really fun, but more it's so calm and it's so positive and it's really spiritual, and it's just got some, you know, beautiful, beautiful places. So I think it's got a special vibe. And then when I was thinking, I realized that what do I do week in, week out? Well, I have an Ibiza playlist. I talk about Ibiza with like my friends and family all the time. And I feel like the Ibiza playlist comes into the days when I'm not having such a good day.
Right.
That's what I realised that I hadn't really thought about before. So I think it's about like music can really take me over. And I'm sure this is something that lots of people have mentioned, but I think, music and dancing really can change my mood. It can help me to be creative. It makes me happy. And there's nothing that makes me happier more than that Ibiza playlist that I've just made over the years. So same goes for dancing. Like some days I'll put it on if I'm having like, you know, a stressful day and I'm in the kitchen, I'll just put it on 15 minutes, have a dance, and, you know, all the usual stuff, like my mood's changed. So I thought about like what I've been doing during the lockdowns to keep us happy. And I realized that we've been creating our own little Ibizas in our living rooms via like little live streams from our friends who are DJs, and we've been having like Ibiza themed birthday parties where we'd dress in a nice outfit and pretend we were going to a certain place and quiz about that certain place. So I just felt like that was a feel good habit, is bringing like the Ibiza spirit and that happiness and that feeling of Ibiza into life whenever you can. And I think my mum definitely helps. My mum's definitely got a young energy, and she's constantly sending me like little links to places where we can go when we're allowed to go to Ibiza. And she sends me little like songs and things, you know, that she thinks, oh gosh, you know, this reminds me of Ibiza. So I feel like it's definitely just entwined into into, like, you know, are making us feel good on a weekly basis. So yeah, that's a bit of an odd one, but
no, yeah. I love it. And I was chatting, I was saying to Caroline Hirons the other day, she made me a playlist. Oh, well, I mean, she made a playlist that she sent to me, I should say, which is like White Snake, Foreigner and people, because we were going to go and see them in Hyde Park before lockdown happened. And I was listening to it all day and I messaged her saying, I've just had one of the most productive days I've had in about 3 weeks. And I don't think it's any coincidence that I put your playlist on. But equally, some days if I'm feeling really agitated, I'll bring music in, for example, like you bring Ibiza in, but I'll just bring what's going to mellow me out. And sometimes I will put my noise cancelling headphones on and I will play white noise.
Ah, that's interesting.
And it just, or a binaural beat so that I'm like on a frequency and it just absolutely takes me off that sort of, if I'm on the proverbial ledge, shall we say, it just brings me back, which is really helpful.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I definitely don't think it's a coincidence that you felt that way. And like, even if I've got like a little, I love step exercise and I've got a little step. And I think I'm just thinking about this now, is every time I get my step out in the garden, that step aerobic thing, even if it's just 10 minutes, I always put the Ibiza music on. Just, yeah. Or even, you know, even looking, yeah, that, all of those things. So yeah, that's probably my fifth and maybe most out there one.
Yeah, but probably sounds like a really important one, actually.
I was going to say, so no, I think the dancing and the exercising to music one is probably a real, like, reoccurring theme through lots of people's feel good habits, maybe, but it works.
Yeah, movement has definitely been like walking. And I think particularly, I think with lockdown as well, I think lots more people have embraced walking rather than rushing everywhere. And again, in that book that Sarah Wilson's just written, she says, people will drive to a gym to go and sit on a stationary bike for an hour and then they will drive home. Like, talk about how bonkers that is. And yeah. I think a lot of people, because things have been closed and you've kind of had to, your resources have been limited. I could definitely say that a lot of people have said walking, or my friends have said, I never used to walk because I feel like I needed to be walking somewhere, not that I could just go for a nice walk and walk for half an hour and then walk back for half an hour. And I think a lot of people have found that really, really nourishing and really helpful.
Yeah, 100%, like that daily walk. And then I also found somewhere that I just found really peaceful. So I would just go and sit on a bench by a particular tree where there were some ducks just for half an hour every day, especially that first lockdown when the weather was good but you weren't allowed to see literally anyone. And I think that, yeah, that was really important in terms of daily routine. But no, I completely agree with, I had the same conversation, you know, your gym comment about driving to the gym. So we've actually brought, like, we bought an exercise bike for £20 and I've got like the step in the garage now, so I agree that it's bonkers. So we're trying to not do that anymore.
Yeah, I've got a yoga mat and I have enough space in my living room to have the yoga mat, and I have a couple of kettlebells and some dumbbells, and I've exercised the whole time from home. I'm not saying that gyms don't have their place and they're not amazing and we should definitely support our local gyms.
Yeah.
But I just, it is incredible what you can do when your resources are limited and you don't have much space, but with a little bit of kit, you can achieve a lot.
Yes, exactly. Oh, thanks. It's nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing those. Listeners, the links to Faye, Beauty Bulb, and anything that we talked about, maybe that Ibiza playlist, will be in the show notes. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.